Welcome back to VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings. It is Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, Kelly Bidlin. So glad you could join us once again here at MSG Plus, also on the radio side at SiriusXM Channel 204. We bring sports to you through the prism of betting, specifically live betting, but also before the game starts, we bet some props, we bet some games as well, and then we look for live betting opportunities. Not really any availing themselves tonight because it doesn't really set up that way, but if you watch the show last week or the week before, man, did we make hay in the NBA and in baseball as well. That has been going well. I want to get some more prop thoughts from you here on sure. the Raiders and the Saints. But before you do that, can I just say one sort of elephant in the room about yesterday in the NFL? Besides the injuries, which we already talked about, the ending of the Cowboys and the Falcons. We have not talked about that. The Falcons were up 20 in the first quarter. They were up 15 late in this game in front of 21,000 fans. They end up losing on a Greg Zuerlein 46-yard field goal as time expires. But for those who missed it, the Cowboys overcame four fumbles, that 20-point deficit I referred to. Dallas wins it 40-39 with under 9 minutes left in that game through win probability according to Next Gen Stats. The Falcons had a 98% chance to win that football game. And in fact, they had a 6-yard pickup with under 9 minutes left in the game. Then they threw two incomplete passes, which stopped the clock. And at that time, you're like, oh, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But in fact, it ends up meaning something. They kick a field goal. They go up 39-24. Cowboys score a touchdown, decide to go for two down nine. Curious analytics play. Fail. Falcons then end up with the ball. They punt. Dallas scores a touchdown. And then the onside kick heard around the world.
The onside kick.
Yes.
Because that might have been the best one I've ever seen.
Greatest one ever.
Ever. No tee. Zuerlein,
little whirly bird.
The thing is, it had not only the effect of them finally recovering it, but apparently mesmerizing the Atlanta Falcons with its spinning top.
Yep.
And they just stared at this ball. The Cowboys end up. I think it was Goodwin who ended up recovering it. The rest is history. Zuerlein with a 46-yarder. Unbelievable. Does that turn around the Cowboys season, or is their defense so banged up and so flawed that you're like, no, let's not ourselves be mesmerized by the shiny object of the onside kick? They're actually not that good at football.
Now, I think this goes back to one thing we were talking about last week as well. And, you know, despite in the loss here with this Falcons team, like we were saying, they're always going to be a scary bet against team
because they
were able to put up that many points. And that was without Julio. Julio Jones was a no-show in that game.
Dropped a sure touchdown pass in the third quarter.
Yeah, like Julio Jones was a no-show and still was able to put up 39 points because Calvin Ridley and Hayden Hurst were able to do what they did. And Russell Gage, actually, I mean, coming through as a slot receiver for this team. So another one of those teams that, like, you don't really ever want to bet on, but it's like going to be a little scary to always bet against those Falcons team. But yeah, going back to your question, I think for the Cowboys, if anything, it has to be a momentum swing in the positive direction for you. I don't think that you take away from this that, like, wow, guys, I can't believe how poorly we played and still won. I think it's one of those, they're going to look right past that and just go right in and say, we won the game and move on from there. But really, like you said, I mean, it was that first quarter. You do not survive first quarters like that very often in the NFL. That first quarter with the way that they played should have sunk that team for sure.
Right.
Three fumbles in 10 plays.
Yeah.
I believe it was.
Yeah. Like, should have sunk that team.
Dallas has forced 7 punts in 8 quarters this year. And 4 of them, by the way, were when Atlanta thought it was garbage time. Mm-hmm. Right. No Tyron Smith, no Lael Collins on the offensive line, no Cam Irving. Already without Travis Frederick for retirement in the offseason. Blake Jarwin, tight end, season-ending knee injury last week. Defense that lost Byron Jones, cornerback in free agency. Hasn't been right with Leighton Vander Esch and Sean Lee at linebacker. 2 studs, corner Anthony Brown either. Defense allowed points 8 times in a 9-drive span on Sunday in Atlanta. They have a total of 2 sacks in 2 games against teams with vulnerable offensive lines. Already allowed 17 third down conversions on 34 attempts, plus 3 fourth down conversions on as many attempts. 1 takeaway thus far against opponents that committed a combined 49 turnovers last year. So I'm just saying, good for the Cowboys to win that game. They're in a really bad division. That helps a lot too. but I'm not so sure I'm going crazy betting on them.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I think one of the things we did see as well is this rookie wide receiver class is going to be, I mean, it has a potential to be pretty special. CeeDee Lamb looked really, really great. We saw what Ruggs was able to do for the Raiders team last week. Now, what he does tonight, we'll see. He's a little banged up, but he's going to have to step in, play a prominent role. Now with Cortland Sutton out, Jerry Judy's the number one receiver there in Denver, so he's going to have to step in and be the number one guy there. So this wide receiver class of 2020 is quickly having to basically earn that first round status for sure.
That was my long-winded way of saying Seattle was my favorite pick yesterday. Just made it. Woo. 5-point win as a 4-point favorite. I think Seattle might be my favorite pick this coming week as a 4.5-point favorite against Dallas. I think again. Seattle's got problems in the defense too, by the way. Yeah. As far as tonight, Raiders once again here hosting a football game in Las Vegas. For decades, you couldn't even utter the word Las Vegas when it came to mainstream media NFL broadcasts. And here we are in 2020, the Death Star, Allegiant Stadium. There's a beautiful picture of it. It's out there on the 15. We drive by it every day. It is a beautiful stadium, but we only know about it from the outside. No fans tonight. So that's kind of tough for Raiders Nation to have this brand new, spanking new stadium, and they don't get to have fans there. But they're thrilled to have the Raiders here in Las Vegas. It is just the beginning of a new era. It cannot be overstated. The about face that betting in general and our whole national landscape, but specifically with the NFL having a franchise here, can be stated. We can't overstate that. But it is as far as the betting line tonight. New Orleans, a 4-point favorite, as you reported earlier, down to a 4-point favorite against the Raiders. That's largely because of the absence of Mike Thomas. Mm-hmm. No pre-flop for you, but you talked about some of these props that you have.
Yeah.
Can you dive deeper into some of those for us?
Yeah, so I'm on receiving yards over on Alvin Kamara in this game, and I think this is kind of just how I predict the game flow to go. I mean, this is a guy that's already incredibly active in the pass game as it is anyway. You take Michael Thomas out of the situation, and now you're going to try to thrust Emmanuel Sanders into a number one role with a new team, second game with the team. Tre'Quan Smith has never really lived up to any of the well, really no NFL hype, but it was all training camp hype, has never really lived up to that. Jared Cook, I imagine, will have an expanded role as well, and I know Kelly will talk about that in a second because he got on that. But I expect Alvin Kamara to have a really – I expect them to line him up all over the field. I imagine he'll line up in the slot sometimes. I imagine they might even line him up out wide just to try to get the ball in his hands and get him to try to make a play with the ball. So at 37.5, I was really, really excited to get in on – that. Now, that being said, we do have to say that number is no longer available. It has been bet up all the way to 42.5 over on DraftKings right now. So it is a full 5 yards higher. That said, I kind of have him more in the low 50s projection here. So I don't hate 42.5. I never advocate for people to take the worst of a number, but I don't hate 42.5 because I think it's I have him kind of over 50 yards in this thing. It's a pretty big buffer there of kind of like a whole catch and a half or something like that for Alvin Kamara. So really love that. And then we do the correlated thing. If I think he's going to play more receiver, then that means Latavius Murray is going to be more the running back. They posted 30.5 a little bit earlier. Loved that bet. Got in on over on him as well. Now that has been bet all the way up to 36.5 as we sit right now at DraftKings. Same deal. It would be over pass for me on Latavius Murray if you expect him to get kind of that 13-14 carries, Gil.
Yeah.
13-14 carries at three plus yards a carry, you're still getting there, you know, as far as that number goes.
Hot bet, obviously, today, because that is I made the information for this graphic up about 2 hours ago, and that's already moved 3 yards even more. You said 36.5 is what
it's at 36.5 as we sit right now. Yeah.
So that's been taking a lot of money all day. That was one I was looking at earlier today, mm-hmm. and same line of thinking that Matt had, thinking that Kamara would probably be used more in the passing game, might open up some more carries for Murray. But I even thought, you know, the number I was seeing was a little too high, had gone a little too high. And I think that's something important in prop betting, Matt, and you do this a lot, maybe more than anybody I know here in town. When is there a number that you decide is still within range, or it's kind of risen or fallen too much that you want to stay away?
Yeah, so when there's like extenuating circumstances like tonight, I'll give myself a little bit more of a buffer, right? Like, so because I think there's going to be an expanded role for Latavius Murray, I'll kind of like be a little bit more generous with my projection, right? So like, even though I have him clearly getting even though I kind of have him at like 40-ish, which that's only now at this point, a 4-yard kind of buffer, I would still rather play the over here because I think there's a chance he might get 18 carries in this game, like, you know, mm-hmm. depending on how they end up using Alvin Kamara, right? And so I'm kind of like, with those type of situations, I'd rather much rather do that. If it's any game type scenario where they're just playing straight up and there's nothing that I kind of am assuming, you know, as far as how the play is going to change, I'm pretty strict. 2-3 yards, something like that, and kind of go with that. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of opportunity earlier today. We're just, unfortunately, we're not on Sundays where we could have pointed it out for people to get the best of these numbers. But I still think, again, I would still feel comfortable taking the overs at those, just knowing that you're not getting the best of
it. 2 to 3 yards is also not a static answer, right? The difference mm-hmm. of 2 to 3 yards between 30 and 32 or 33 yards right. is much bigger than 2 or 3 yards at 80 or 82
exactly.
83 yards.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
You're being modest also. Do you care to share with people the shenanigans of your Latavius Murray betting today, or do you not care to share?
No, it's just, you know, there was we got the better of the number. We got the better of the number.
Here's the thing. This is a gambling 101 thing. When a person starts referring to themselves with the pronoun we, something was afoot. Let's just say that.
We got the better of the number here. The number on the screen is that I was able to get was 30 and a half on Latavius Murray, and that number didn't last.
All right.
That number lasted about as long as we were going to let it last.
And you noticed.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Sharp bettors notice those kinds mm-hmm. of things. You cannot make a mistake. And by the way, he doesn't know if he's going to cash it or
sure.
not.
The George Kittle bet is a perfect example from last week, right? And that's the other thing that you have to take into consideration when you bet these player props. It's not like a team, right? You can bet a team at -4 and they can still lose their quarterback and you can still win your bet, right? I mean, like, you have to have a pretty high risk tolerance if you're going to play these player props, because a guy rolls an ankle, you're going to lose. And that, like, George Kittle was on pace to obliterate that total that we had him at last week, and he got hit in the knee the last play before the half, and that was it, you know? And so you take the losses on those.
One more prop for me, by the way. Is there one more?
Yeah, I'm on the under on Derek Carr passing yards. It's at 267.5, and I just think I ran 4 different kind of scenarios here, and every single time was under that number. Granted, now that Ruggs is back in, maybe that adjusts a little bit higher, but I was falling more kind of in the 240-ish, 250-ish range, so like a solid kind of 20-yard difference here. Ruggs maybe ticks that up a tad, but it would definitely be an under or nothing for me on Carr.
Okay.
On the passing yards for
Derek
sure.
Carr, who Raiders fans have a very, very sort of schizophrenic relationship with. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, he's the same as Breece, right? Like, he doesn't like taking chances. He doesn't push the ball down the field. I mean, super high completion percentage. He completes like 70% of his passes because they're all like 6 yards down the field, you know, 6 or 7 yards down the field.
I don't know if he's John Gruden's guy either, mm-hmm. right? He inherited Derek Carr. Marcus Mariota has an injury now, so it's not like there's pressure on Derek Carr. But even if you watched Hard mm-hmm. Knocks when the Raiders were on last year, you could tell Gruden is not like the biggest fan of Derek Carr's. And listen, I don't know that he's 1 or 2 bad starts away from, you know, being benched or anything like that. Most of these guys in the NFL are 1 or 2 bad starts away, you know, unless they're entrenched on a team. But guy like Derek Carr, you just wonder if he's long for the Raiders organization or not. John Gruden will have a lot to say about
that. So, Gil, I've obviously made my case here for the under. Do we have a case for the over? What would be the case for the over here? I mean, I guess, would it just be the Raiders defense is pretty suspect, and even without Michael Thomas, the Saints are able to just run roughshod over this?
They take a big lead, as mm-hmm. it always the case, and then the Raiders can't rely on little dinks mm-hmm. to Josh Jacobs and pounding Josh Jacobs, and they have to go through the air. The Raiders have receivers, man. I mean, obviously, you mentioned Henry Ruggs. Hunter Renfro, as reliable mm-hmm. as they come, who, by the way, has not gotten a lot of snaps this year, very strangely. Yeah. Hunter Renfro in the first 2 games, I don't know what happened with Hunter Renfro out of Clemson.
They want to run Nelson Agholor out there for whatever reason. It's like Nelson Agholor has proven over 5 seasons or 4 seasons in the NFL that he's not yeah. the dude. But yeah, I don't know.
And Darren Waller, who had a spectacular rookie season, obviously a big target for Derek Carr as well. So it's not like the Raiders don't have weapons. Mm-hmm. And we'll see if that gets unleashed here in just a minute or so, kicking off from Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. If you're watching and it looks like, hey, is Gil distracted? Why is he not looking at Matt? Yes, the answer is yes, I am, constantly, by the shiny objects, by the games that are going on. Just updating the pre-flop bets once again. Under 7 on Milwaukee, Cincinnati. It's 1-0 in the top of the 6. Looking darn good there. And the Blue Jays have unleashed on the Yankees. Middle of the 3rd, Blue Jays 5, Yankees 1. We have the over 10.5 there. So looking good on both of those.
We have not got going, actually, here in Game 2 quite yet. They are a little behind schedule here. Still no change at all if you wanted to get in last minute here. Minus 157 on the Lightnings, plus 138 on the Stars.
Can we go back to you were, I don't know if people got what you were just talking about with the George Kittle example. Mm-hmm. So Matt, and we'll use the example of tonight in Latavius mm-hmm. Murray. It's about 36 yards for Latavius Murray market-wide mm-hmm. right now. Matt got it at 30.5 earlier today and made subsequent bets mm-hmm. on the way up. Some places it disappeared.
Yeah.
And now it's back everywhere. This is no guarantee, and I think this is one of the things we sort of have to like impart on a new gambling audience. Just because you get the best of the number mm-hmm. doesn't mean you're going to win a bet. And it's very difficult for people. So it's sort of a two-pronged game. Yes, you want the best of a number. It doesn't have to be a prop bet. Anything you do, a spread, a total, you always want the best of it. It's no guarantee that any one event, though, right. will go your way. It's just that if you keep doing that over time, the thinking, not the thinking, but the data also suggests that you will be a successful bettor.
If you're prone, and this is something too, if you're new out there, if you're prone to kind of getting tilted or upset when you lose a bet or something, betting these props is probably not the best way to go right off the bat here for you. Because again, you can still win a bet on a side or a total if the game doesn't go exactly like you think it's going to go, or if a player gets injured or something like that. Like, that bet is still live and you can still win that bet. You're dead if a guy gets injured with these prop bets. So like it's a little bit higher risk tolerance, I would say, if that's something that you're, you know, looking to do here. I've been doing it long enough to where I have that risk assessment. I mean, we bet George Kittle at over 62.5 yards last week. We bet it a lot. We thought it was a great bet. He had 44 yards, you know, right before halftime and got hit right in the knee and that was it, you know, and you just have to kind of, you have to say, well, that's football, you know, and that's gambling.
We're underway in Las Vegas, by the way. First play from scrimmage for the Saints, Deontay Harris with an 11 yard. I believe it was a run. I had my head down, but I believe it was a design run to the wideout Deontay Harris. Breeze on 1st and 10 again, throws it almost picked off. Almost picked off, intended for Jared Cook. 2nd and 10 now at their own 36. Early going of Monday Night Football.
Is there any number you would be interested in getting in on either side here, like Saints or the Raiders?
Yeah, I mean, great question. My approach to this game is very much, I mean, this is one of these games, 16 games, no buys right now in the NFL slate. This is one of these that from the very beginning I wanted no part of whatsoever. Because the Saints, even in victory against the Bucs last week, I don't know. There was a pick
deceiving,
six.
Deceiving. A couple short field scores as well.
There was a mortar kick where they recovered, right? Very short field score. Taysom Hill with his first snap of the day, and he gains, I'll call it a short gain. It'll be 3rd and 6. Don't hold me to that. But 3rd down for the Saints at their own 45. So I don't know about the Saints' performance against the Bucs. Mm-hmm. I don't know how great the Bucs are. We saw them kind of have a choppy performance yesterday as well in their game. At the same time, the Raiders, to me, I will believe the Raiders. The Raiders beat the Panthers, obviously, in a topsy-turvy game week one.
Right.
I'm going to let the Raiders show me how good they are. By the way, Taysom Hill had 8 yards on that play. Forgive me. It's 3rd and 2 now at their own 46. And this is a handoff, and that's a 1st down and more cross midfield for the Saints right there. So Saints matriculating, as the great Hank Stram once said back in the day. So I don't know. So this was a game that I just absolutely want to know part of. To answer your question, let me see what's going on. Let me get a feel for this game and maybe then jump in. There is no, it's the other thing. We use so many hours of television time and radio time and podcast time, understandably, because we have to fill content to talk about games through the prism of a spread. It's what we've been conditioned to do. But truly the best bets, and this is just me and you talking, no one else is listening here, it's money line bets, it's teasers, specifically in the National Football League, if you know which teasers to make. It's creative things that don't often get spoken about, because as Matt and I like to say, sometimes people like to be too cool for school, and they don't like to tell you that these are the right bets to make.
People will, you and I have talked about this extensively, because we've done programming together for so many years now. I probably bet exponentially more teasers than most people do, because I have proven over time, if I can pick the right ones, that to me, I'm getting an advantage, right? And I think a lot of people don't think that it's cool to talk about that, and like, you know, I'm not a teaser guy or something like that. It's like, okay, that's fine. Yeah. You don't have to be. Yeah. I will be. I'll be your teaser guy. That's fine.
He'll be our teaser guy. I think that was a song, by the way. Here's the thing. Look, contests are based on your prowess, your success against the spread. So again, it's understandable why that's what most people talk about. But not oftentimes is it the best way for actual long-term betting success. You just want to be entertained and do it. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. But if you're trying to win money, that might be an entirely different story. Flag here in the early going, first flag of the night. I think
defensive holding declined.
Defensive holding. That'll be an automatic first 10. Thank you. Yeah, first and 10. Thank you, Kelly. Defensive holding. Drew Brees and the Saints just sort of going downfield deliberately. First game ever at Allegiant Stadium. So, you know, look, if the Saints score here, and let's say they get in the end zone at 7-0, there is nothing about that makes me want to jump in either side.
Yeah, no.
Yet. We'll see. Maybe there is... maybe as we watch this, there is clearly a dominant effort by one team or the other. So far, though, early going, Saints 2nd and 11, just over 3 minutes elapsed in the very first quarter of this one. We will follow the Saints and the Raiders. We'll look for in-game opportunities. We'll see if the Yankees and Blue Jays can go over. We'll see if the Brewers and Reds can still stay under. We'll see if all of Mateo's props will cash tonight. It's VSiN's primetime action, powered by DraftKings.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers get a no-brainer odds boost of 100-1 on any pro football team to win in Week 3. It's easy. Just sign up for the DraftKings Sportsbook app with promo code VSIN, bet $1 on any team to win in Week 3, and if they do, you walk away with $100. Don't forget to use code VSIN when you sign up. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit the DraftKings Sportsbook app for offer details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Gil.
Actually, let me throw it to Matt, because Matt, I believe, has a light bulb over
his head. I had a thought, because I was talking about that under earlier, and the thought being about, you know, Ruggs wasn't going to play, and he was going to play, and then I said something about not worth me buying off of that bet. And we're trying to explain some things here and there to people, and this is even something that can play into your live bet, and you actually made a point about this before we even started this show, that you were talking to someone who realized that they were in on the wrong side of a bet and immediately came in on the other side because they saw it was a college football bet, maybe, that they were in pregame on one side.
I was referring to my U.S. Open bets that I could tell Saturday that it was like, oh no, this is Bryson DeChambeau's turn.
Yeah, I think I was talking about just like maybe it was like week one of college football that you were highlighting. You said some guy that
Navy and BYU.
That he had made a pregame bet and he instantly realized I'm on the wrong side.
That was me. Okay. I instantly realized. Yes. I was like, this is...
He was trying to cover for you.
Yeah. No, it was me. I had Navy right before the BYU game. One drive on each side. You knew immediately Navy was not prepared for this football game. It's like they had not had any contact. And then you could just pound BYU the whole way.
So, yeah, I mean, I think this is another thing that we talk about, trying to like look for optimal numbers and things like that on in-game as well. And I think you can also, we can add to this that if you're watching the game and you just kind of get that feeling like I made a bad bet.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can try to get off of that bad bet as well.
Yeah. That's the beauty of in-game. Mm-hmm. And in-game, 10 years ago, I talked to a British derivative trader. His name was Andrew Garud, and he was responsible for some of these big algorithms bringing in-game betting to the United States. This is about 2010, 2011. And he said, in his British accent, so it sounded more intelligent than it would have if it was any of us.
Sure, naturally.
He said, this will be here in 5 years, meaning in the United States. It will catch on. It will be more of your betting pie than pregame betting, pre-flop betting. And he wasn't right about the time frame. It wasn't 5 years, but certainly he was right about it in 10 years. Because I think in-game people are realizing, look, we've had a week to think about this Raiders-Saints game. Mm-hmm. Is that a better, no matter how good of a model you have, no matter how much you think you know football, is that better than watching a couple drives and jumping in? And so, yeah, to use your example, you've got to bet before the game starts. The ability, and this, again, metaphor for anything in life, the ability to be humble enough to say, ooh, I was not right about this at all. Let me get off this as soon as possible.
Well, we talked about this in week one. I was very foolish in making a bet on the Browns in that Ravens game.
Me too.
Instantly saw how the Ravens just looked like the Ravens, and then unfortunately the Browns just looked like the Browns, and I bought off my position in that game.
Daniel, you like, that's his one loss of the year in football, and you see how humble he's like, you know, that time that I had that losing bet.
That time you overestimated the Browns.
Yeah.
So betting on both sides, would we say that's middling then?
Well, it could be.
Okay.
But what we're referring to is just flat out being wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and just saying, okay, this is not even a middle situation. This is, I am going to either bet as much or more.
I'm willing
on the
to lose a little bit of juice.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm willing to lose a little bit of juice, but I don't want to lose my whole stake that I have in the game.
Okay. Middling sort of refers to Kelly Midland Bidlin over there.
Yeah, I was going to say, we need to define it.
Remember, he did that with the basketball game the other night to perfection. He had a 14.5 or 15.5
15-point middle, yep.
Yeah, middle. On the, was it the Celtics?
Heat-Celtics. So Celtics plus 5.5, Heat plus 9.5 live.
So his intent was to win both of those bets. He was willing to lose any side of it. He would just lose juice. But his hope was to hit both of those. What we're simply referring to is, oh my goodness, I was not smart about this bet. Let me run for the hills on this. Mm-hmm. Financially, let me get off this.
So stay away from the middle and just clear to the other side.
Yeah, there was nothing about the middle in that one. That was like, wow, I made a really, really bad read on this. That was just a horrible bet, and I need to get out of this. In the game down here, Derek Carr gets sacked. They have to punt away to the Saints.
Yeah, 3-0 Saints, by the way, while we were in break. Will Lutz with a chip shot field goal for the Saints. Was it a 3-and-out for the Raiders? They had to punt. I'm not sure if it was a 3-and-out.
I've seen this
game
before.
They got one first down.
Well, they did get one first down.
3-and-out for the Raiders.
All right, okay. Well, Saints will get the ball back up a field goal here, still in the first quarter at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Debut game in front of nobody, no fans. It's VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings. Gil, Matt, Danielle, and Kelly, we're coming right back.
Your football betting go this weekend. As you know, there's always room to improve your sports betting IQ, and VSiN is here to help you bet smarter this season. Start your 7-day risk-free trial and place your next bet with confidence. Sign up today and you'll get Point Spread Weekly, our digital betting guide with NFL power ratings and consensus picks from our experts, 24/7 live video streaming with full replays of all VSiN shows, the college football betting guide with previews, predictions, and betting strategies, daily emails with best bets from all our shows, hosts, and guests. Plus, you can always access our parlay calculator, prop bet search engine, and pick tracker on VSiN.com. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to start your risk-free trial today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil.
Thank you, Danielle. Some updates right now. Alvin Kamara scampering into Raiders territory. It'll be first and 10 at the Raiders 35 here in Vegas. Saints already up 3-0. You know how on Friday when the Yankees were down 3-0 to the Red Sox, I said, bet them at plus 223, and it ended up cashing? Don't bet the Yankees here tonight because they are getting smacked by the Blue Jays. Really not smacked. I shouldn't use that word. Station to station once again for the Blue Jays now in the bottom of the fourth in Buffalo, it should be noted, where the Blue Jays play their home games this year. By the way, there's a double play, as I say that, from the Blue Jays. But make it 7-1 now in favor of the Baby Jays in the bottom of the fourth. Make it 8-1. Pardon me. 8-1 now.
We just need two runs.
Two runs. That's all I need for that to cash. Reds did hit a two-run shot. Eugenio Suarez. 2-1 Reds at the end of six. That's an under on seven. So that becomes a little more of a sweat in that one. But still looking good in both.
Boy, he pimped it too. That was one of those he knew he got it.
Yeah, well, that's a big home run. Again, These games, you know, while we do it through the prism of our bets, playoff picture in Major League Baseball, if I may for a second. If the playoffs, 7 days left in the Major League Baseball season, if the playoffs were to begin right now, headed into tonight, as the Saints will be faced with third and eight now for the Saints with 5:39 left in the first quarter. Rays and Jays, 1-8. In the American League, White Sox, Cleveland, a 2-7, Oakland, Houston, a 3-6. Yankees will take on the Twins. Twins, the fourth seed, Yankees, the fifth. Remember, 1-4 seeds will get all three best of three, if necessary, three games. First round of the playoffs in their home park. What does that mean? No crowd? I don't know. That's left to debate. National League, Dodgers against these Reds, Cubs against the Phillies, Braves against the Cardinals, Padres, Marlins of all teams. Again, this is subject to change on a day-to-day basis. Breeze to throw, 3rd-and-8, over the middle, wide open. That's a first down, and still on his feet. Wow. Breaks three tackles at the 20,
wow,
all the way inside the 5. That is a big play and missed tackles.
This is what I get for talking about Tre'Quan Smith.
Tre'Quan Smith. Let's see how many tackles he breaks. First of all, he's wide open, and then the Raiders converge. One tackle shaken, two shaken.
Yeah, I'm on Raiders plus 6. I'm not feeling great about it right now.
No.
Really not feeling great about it.
Seems a little easy for
that
the Saints.
Yeah, New Orleans doing everything.
That live line is currently 10, Kelly. 10. That live line is 10.
10. Yeah. So this is interesting, right? So let's sort of describe what that means. The Saints are up 3-0, but they have the ball first and goal at the 4. The reason that the live line is 10 is that the assumption here is that the Saints will put this in the end zone, although they do take a delay of game penalty right there. Drew Brees, sort of a unveteran-like play by the 41-year-old. Did they call timeout beforehand?
They're going to call the timeout.
They gave him a time. No. Yep, they gave him the timeout before that. So no delay on the Saints. So first and goal at the 4, they're up 3-0. The live line at DraftKings is 10. The assumption, therefore, is the market feels like the Saints are going to get into the end zone, and therefore it will be a 10-point game after the extra point is converted. If the Saints, however, don't get in, if you have some conviction, let's say you've analyzed goal line defense of the Raiders and you're like, oh, I don't think they're getting in, the plus 10 would be exactly where you would jump in right now.
Right.
But I'm not saying you should.
No, I would not. I would not.
How about that for stepping on a limb, Kelly? I'm not saying you should. First
eagle. Yeah. I'm good. I think everybody
goes out there sweating his six, saying, I don't like my position here at all.
Here's the Saints. They'll just run it to Kamara. He bumps out to the left side.
Outrun them all?
And he reaches for the pylon. He's going to be a half yard short.
I mean, that's been a lot of runs so far for Kamara. He's hit that edge, and the just Raiders are not there. And if that's going to work all night, then the Raiders are toast.
I mean, we said the Achilles heel coming into this was going to be the Raiders defense, right? And were they going to be able to hold up? And, did he run into the camera?
This is a bad scene on the sidelines after that play. By the way, Kamara runs out at the 1 yard line, but a little bit off the field, just outside of the sideline. There is a sort of piece of large equipment that is probably too close to the field than it should have been, quite frankly. And it looks like one of the Raiders defenders, I don't want to say who it is. I can only see that the last number on his jersey is 4. So I don't want to speculate who that is.
Jonathan Abram.
I'm not sure if it was Jonathan Abram or if it was Justin Hardy. We shouldn't really speculate, but it's a Raider is down and it doesn't look particularly good. So there's a break in the action there with the Saints knocking at the door up 3-0, but we certainly hope everybody's okay there. Did not look good.
Yeah, it's Abram.
It is Abram?
Mm-hmm.
All right. It is Abram. Not good. We'll see. We'll update that coming up. As inarticulate of a segue as that is, as they tend to Abram. Hockey. Dallas-Tampa Bay. 8:37 left in the first period, and just as I look, they get it. The Lightning do pass Anton Khudobin, and the Lightning take a 1-0 lead on the Stars in the proverbial must-win situation for the Lightning. Not exactly must-win, but they don't want to fall down 2-0. I believe that was Nikita Kucherov who scored that for the Lightning. Yep, sure was. Sure was. Lightning now lead it. No, it was Braden Point. My bad. Braden Point gets it from point blank range, throws it over the shoulder of Khudobin. Lightning one, and the Stars nothing. And so if we go to the updated line at DraftKings, well, I don't even know if we'll have it up yet.
360.
360
on the Lightning, 235 on the comeback for the Stars.
235. Do you have the inclination to bet that?
No, like I said, I've got money on the Stars as it is. Oh, yeah. Anyway, good. So I'm just kind of going to ride this out. Kelly's the one who comes in on these dogs.
I'm intrigued, but I was leaning
intrigued.
I was leaning the Lightning before the game, so I think I'm going to hold off on this, but it's a big number.
Oh, okay, we just saw the replay. We just saw the replay. Not pretty. John, let's just say it's not a leg injury, so there's that. But Jonathan Abram, basically his full momentum from trying to make the tackle on Alvin Kamara, runs right into the piece of heavy equipment, and he does get up, and he does sprint back to the huddle. So he's okay. I don't know if that was adrenaline rush.
I'm going to guess that cart won't be there.
Yeah.
Like moving forward.
Abram had 13 tackles last week against the Panthers, second among NFL safeties. Looking good right now. We'll update the Saints, whether they get in the end zone or not. Coming back, VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers get a no-brainer odds boost of 100 to 1 on any pro football team to win in Week 3. It's easy. Just sign up for the DraftKings Sportsbook app with promo code VSIN, bet $1 on any team to win in Week 3, and if they do, you walk away with $100. Don't forget to use code VSIN when you sign up. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit the DraftKings Sportsbook app for offer details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9 with it. Gil, Matt.
Thank you, Danielle. Okay, a lot going on right now. By the way, Tampa Bay scores again. 2-0 Lightning, still over 5 minutes left in the first quarter. So the Lightning doing exactly what they needed to do here in the early going in Stanley Cup Finals Game 2. And then we have in the football game, extra point shenanigans. The Saints scored, by the way, Alvin Kamara from a couple yards out, went up to 9-0. The rare personal foul penalty called on the Raiders during the extra point conversion, that 1 yard, the half the distance to the goal line, the Saints decided to go for two at that point. And it looked like very, I won't say untouched because maybe one hand got on him, but Alvin Kamara on the right side gets it into the end zone for the 2-point conversion. But now another flag. So instead of 11-0, we have an illegal motion. We have a false start or an illegal motion there on the Saints. So that gets nullified.
Mm.
Now, the weird thing for those who don't know this about NFL extra point rules is that, it's a very strange thing with, you know, the offense can get penalized 100 times and keep going back. But if the defense gets penalized once, it'll go all that you have a choice to go all the way back to where you were initially. It's like a very strange quirk in the rule book. We haven't gotten to that point yet here, but those 2 points are taken off the board now. So it is still 9-0 in this football game. And the Monday Night Football group is now getting consultation from an official. What exactly does all this mean? Anyway, the upshot of all of it is the Saints are now going back to trying an extra point, which is, you know, from further out. And Will Lutz sinks that, bisects the goalpost. So an extra point from further out than it would have been. And now it's, after all that, 10-0 Saints. How exciting was
that?
I'm
sure that point will not matter at all in the end, Gil.
You know, so you're
that's what it always feels like.
So you have no confidence whatsoever. Oh, you're being sarcastic
yeah,
is what you're saying.
Sarcastic.
Yes. Remember that moment where it could have been 11-0 after it was 10-0 and now it's 10-0 again. We'll see. By the way, how are you feeling about your +6 on the Raiders?
Not good at all. Especially when they went for that 2-point conversion. It was like, we're just going to toss it out to Kamara because they cannot stop us on the edge right now. And
it
was easy.
I can tell you
easy.
How I feel about my under because I'm going to get in and get, I'm just going to buy off of the under here. It's sitting right at the where it was pre-game here. But like this is too easy. The Saints might score 40 on their own.
Raiders are 10.5-point dogs in the in-game line. The total is at 49, which is just a point and a half higher than it was before the game started. But 10.5 now, with the Saints leading 10-0, the Raiders haven't really provided much resistance at all. But they will get the ball back now, and we'll see what Derek Carr and the Raiders offense can do here. Still, 3:51 left in the first quarter. Perhaps we are overreacting, but perhaps we are not. Nothing really that we've seen puts much confidence in the Vegas Raiders. By the way, John Gruden's face through all that was just lovely. Just what you would expect from John Gruden through it all. It's always just so weird to see the empty seats, though, isn't it? And Raiders are going to take this out of the end zone on the kickoff, and that proves to be a fairly good decision. Out to the 28-yard line where the Raiders will take over first and 10 with 3:44 left. Blue Jays, Yankees. The over is 10.5. That's where I bet it. It is 9-1 Jays in the top of the fifth. I need a run. If I do not get that run, that would qualify as a horrific beat. I should win that. As far as the Reds and the Brewers, big game in the National League. Reds 27-27, Brewers 26-26, along with the Giants at 26-26. Percentage points separating them from the eighth and final playoff spot in the National League. Looking over my left, looking for an update. What do you got as your score here? Is that another goal for the Lightning?
Yeah, another one.
Another goal for the Lightning. That's Kevin Shattenkirk who put that in. By the way, Andy McNeil updates us if you got his prop before the game that he gave us. Over 2.5 shots on goal for Victor Hedman. Victor Hedman already with 2 shots on goal in the first 12 minutes. But it's Lightning, 3 stars, nothing. Katie bar the door. as they say on that one. Although, if you want to get in on this, we'll let you know what the Stars' in-game price has been updated to, because it's obviously going to be something juicy.
$1,300.
$1,300. You want a little bit of that?
$1,300?
13 to 1. Hmm. I think your $100 bet can bring you back $1,300 here, Danielle.
I think that Kelly's Heat bet sounds more enticing. I have to get up to there.
Yeah. Well, by the way, 2-1, Cincinnati, Milwaukee, two outs, top of the seventh, but some noise from the Brewers. One hit will put them back in the lead, so I'm hoping for an out there. But yeah, 3-0 Lightning. My goodness, plus 1,300.
Live totals moved to 7 in this one now.
as we were
talking about the 5 earlier, where Andy did say if anything he would play the over. He didn't have a play in it, but if anything he would have it shaded to the over. Well, I think he was onto something.
Yeah, first and 10, by the way, for the Raiders in Saints territory, just across midfield, and Derek Carr, Air Mills, Henry Ruggs, trying to get him loose, so it'll be second and 10. 2:24 left in the first there. That was first and 10 at the 46. Did he have him? Not exactly. Henry Ruggs was covered pretty well there. Could have had him if the pass was precise, but it was not from Derek Carr. Second and 10 here for the Raiders. Again, Kelly with the plus 6 on this. Matt looking for his props. I'm looking to see if there's a place to get in-game on this. Nothing yet. Derek Carr in shotgun, pump fake, looking, surveying, having lunch back flag in the pocket collapses and he falls. And I think that's in the neighborhood of holding, but we shall see.
Typically when a play lasts about a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody's holding somebody.
Yeah. Someone's getting held.
And that's in fact what it is.
Man, get rid of the ball. You gotta let that thing loose somewhere. Sit back there, take a sack.
One note here on the hockey game, and we've said this last week. By the way, Hudobin, very uncharacteristic based on his previous playoff performances to give up 3 goals like that. We talk about in-game betting. While the game is going on versus while the game is stopped. So we talked about this, Danielle, last week with other sports as well. You can do it while the game's going on, but just know that there is a little bit of a lag time. The book may be watching the game a few seconds, if not more than a few seconds ahead of you. So just to avoid that frustration, and Derek Carr gets sacked again, by the way, coverage sacks, these are.
I'm shocked.
You sound like a defeatist Raiders fan.
I'm a Derek Carr defeatist for sure. Yeah, if he's a car, he's a lemon. That's how I look at it.
Wow. Very strong take there, right. Derek Carr. But just to make the point, wait for a stoppage. Wait for the hockey game to get to the end of the period, generally speaking, so that you don't run into the possible shenanigans of the book seeing it just enough ahead in advance. By the way, this applies to baseball, this applies to football, this applies to basketball, where your bet all of a sudden when you make it becomes that much less favorable 10 seconds later because they're seeing something in the future that you haven't yet. Stoppage, you can sort of be guaranteed, all right, level playing field, what they're dishing out for a line is what I'm going to get and what it ought to be.
That makes sense.
Point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You sort of throw that up.
You have basketball lines for us.
I do. I have NBA series prices. I was going to see if I could interest you guys in any of these. Okay. We'll start with the Eastern Conference. Heat Celtics, the Heat at -150 for the series, or Celtics at +120, which I thought looked interesting, even though I am kind of rooting for the Heat here.
Matt?
Can't get him to bite. All right.
I like the Heat. I wouldn't.
You know what I would just say about these? Bet it the way we've been betting it. In game, every game, set yourself up for no frills, no sweat. Hey, you got the Heat plus 9.5 now when they fall behind and watch them come back. And this stuff, while again, it's great to talk about, mathematically, you're not getting enough bang for your buck on these.
Even Kelly's got such good odds on the Heat.
Well, he does because he got it when he got it. But if I were betting into this now, like, look, Celtics win 4-3.
Right.
Let's just take that specific one available at DraftKings. It's only +260. If you bet the Celtics each game along the way and just rolled over, obviously you'd have to wait to the Heat to get to 3 for that to be exact, but you're better off betting it in a game-by-game situation is the point.
If I had to bet one of those, it would be Heat win 4-3 at +450, because I think this series is going to get stretched.
I hope it gets stretched, especially at +450. That looks great. What about the Western Conference Finals? Lakers at minus 1,000. Nuggets at 20-1.
There,
Lakers to sweep minus 139.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they have just outclassed the Nuggets.
The sweep is the favorite.
Yeah.
Right. So tell me, I put $100 down on the Lakers, and I get what back?
For the sweep price you're talking about?
Yeah, this minus 1,000 here.
Oh no, the minus 1,000. You would have to put down. Let me get this right. You'd have to put down 10 times the amount you would win.
That's great. Okay.
So a 1,000 would get you 100. 100 would get you 10.
Is that not enough bang for my buck, I'm guessing?
That is the opposite of bang for your buck.
Yes.
Yes, that's... Yeah. That's bust for my buck.
Here's the thing, though. We say that, you know, the Lakers, but if that shot doesn't go in from Anthony Davis last night, for those who missed it, the Lakers win it in a buzzer beater from Anthony Davis. 1-1, it's a whole different narrative.
By the way, how unfair is that? That a 7-foot guy, yeah, like, you draw up a play for your 7-footer to shoot a 3 to win the game. I mean, like, that's just unfair that guy can do that.
I would have loved for that to be a series, but... Not anymore.
It's just...
This phrase is used a lot, but unguardable, that's that.
Yeah.
That is that.
I mean, it's like you're sitting there and like, oh, let's draw up a play for our 7-footer to shoot a 3 to win the game. I mean, like, that, and that's the play they draw up. Anthony Davis is, yeah, he's unfair. He is unfair.
This first one of the series for the correct score, Lakers win 4-0 minus 139, right? 4-0.
Seems like the closest thing to happen to me.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin loved it. Did you see the tweet?
What's the 4-1?
4-1 is plus 200. Did you guys see Kevin Love tweet about this? It was hilarious. He said Lakers in 3. So I'm thinking that he likes that first one there at minus 139.
That's a very clever tweet from Kevin Love. I wouldn't even go for the 4-1 because it's only 2-1 odds. Like, that's not enough. That's not sexy enough for me.
I'm not excited about it. Okay.
Yeah. We'd update the football, but it's 10-0 Saints right now. They do have a 3rd-and-5 deep in their own territory, so maybe the Raiders can make a stop, get the ball back, and try to do something here. It's VSiN's primetime action powered by DraftKings. We'll update it all coming back.